The Holy Gospel is written in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark, beginning at the 35th verse. Glory to you, Lord Christ. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose and waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe, and they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. "Have you considered my servant Job?" God asked the adversary in the first chapter of Job. And that was the fateful question, the catalyst, the push that set in motion a chain of events that would leave Job near despair. Job had seven sons and three daughters, and his livestock numbered in the hundreds. He was not only prosperous, he was good. Or to use a more appropriate, specific biblical word, he was righteous. In defending himself before God, Job declared, "I delivered the poor who cried, and the orphan who had no helper. And I caused the widow's heart to sing with joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me." And we have no reason to believe that Job was not telling the truth. But disaster overcame this man of righteousness and prosperity. The livestock were killed by marauders and natural disaster, and all of his children were killed when a tornado struck the house in which they were having a party. And finally, Job himself was afflicted with a chronic, painful, and debilitating illness. However, Job still had his wife and his friends, although he may have wished more than once that they too had been in the house with his children. "Curse God and die," his wife urged him. And his friends were no better, for they said, "Who that was innocent ever perished?" they asked. "And happy is the one whom God reproves. Therefore, do not despise the discipline of the Almighty." In short, his wife and these friends insisted that Job was in the wrong and God was in the right. And when Job could take it no longer, he burst out, "God has torn me in his wrath and hated me. He has gnashed his teeth at me. God gives me up to the ungodly and casts me into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease and he broke me in two. He seized me by the neck and dashed me to pieces. Though there is no violence in my hands, and my prayer is pure." "What kind of God is this," Job asked, "who allows the wicked to live, to reach old age, and to grow mighty in power?" Well, how often is it that the lamp of the wicked is put out? Well, the story of Job, of course, is the human story. It is our story. His misfortunes were no more dramatic than the misfortunes of that most of us will endure, but they were different from ours only in degree, not in kind. Life is tragic, and to fail to appreciate the tragedy of human life is to fail to be fully human. But what makes Job most like us are his questions. Job's questions went on and on and on until he was worn out, and his wife and his friends were worn out, and God was just about worn out himself. To be human and to be thoughtful at all is to question much. Job's questions are our questions. Why do the wicked prosper and the innocent suffer? Why do bad things happen to good people? And other questions, less momentous but no more persistent, linger at the corners of our awareness. Does the one I love also love me? What can I do with my life that will give me happiness and fulfillment? Will I have enough resources to live on in old age? And above all, we wonder, why must I suffer and die? And why must those I love suffer and die? At times, these questions spin about us like a whirlwind. Job's questions were like that too, until finally, one day, someone spoke to Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Job's questions got answered with more questions. And asking Job these questions, God seemed to be saying that there is no answer to Job's questions, or at least there is no answer that Job can understand. The point of the book of Job appears to be that there are some questions to which there are no answers, or no answers that the human mind can wrap itself around. Well, that can be pretty frustrating, especially to those of us who like to believe that any question can be answered, any problem solved, if we apply reason to it and study it and do enough research. And so, is Job merely a rebuke to human reason? To the quest to make sense of life and answer unanswerable questions? Or does Job offer us some comfort in those sleepless nights when our mind just won't stop asking questions? The answer of Job is more. It is much more than the mere assertion that life's big questions are unanswerable. Job got more than just a rebuke. Job got God. And so do we. In the midst of the questions, in the midst of the whirlwind and the turmoil, there is God. Just as surely as God came to Job, God comes to us. Furthermore, this God who came to Job comes to us. He is a God who hears our questions. He is a God who speaks to us. God doesn't always answer our questions, for perhaps we do not even know enough to ask the right questions, much less understand the answer. But this God who speaks in the midst of the whirlwind is a God who chooses to be in relationship with us. Consider the other biblical tale that I just read to you from the gospel this morning. Jesus and the disciples boarded a 15-foot fishing boat to cross from west to east across the Sea of Galilee. It should have been a short, uneventful journey, but instead they encountered a fierce storm. The comparison to human life is irresistible. Job, too, had every reason to think that his journey across life's sea would be uneventful, that he would grow old and he would die in prosperity with the comfort of his wife and his family around him. What more can any of us ask for? But storms arise. Like Job, the disciples asked, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" It is a question that we are bound to ask time and time again in life's journey. Human life is lived under the sign of the question mark. And if that were the only sign over human life, we might well despair. However, the Christian faith asserts that there is another sign over human life, and that sign is the cross. For we have not only to do with the God who spoke out of the whirlwind and replied to Job's unanswerable questions with more unanswerable questions, we have also to do with the God who spoke out of the whirlwind on the Sea of Galilee and said, "Peace, be still." In the tempest of questions that fly and swirl about us, God comes to speak peace. And when we ask the question that the disciples asked, "Who is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" there is an answer. He is the crucified, risen Lord who is with us in the storm and in the calm. He is with us on land and sea. And when we have all the answers, and he is with us when we have nothing but questions.